This is episode 641 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's article, 15 Bug-Out Bag Mistakes to Avoid Like the Plague. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey everyone, this episode is sponsored by the exclusive Prepper Website email group, which allows you to communicate with other preppers right from your email. You don't have to worry about your every link, click, or word being tracked by social media. This email group resides on the same servers as Prepper Website, so you know you can trust it. Other benefits include members-only videos, periodic webinars, and online meetups. This is a great value for $20 a year. For more information, visit PrepperWebsite.net or click the link in the show notes. Well, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Prepper Website Podcast. I'm so glad that you're here with me, joining in on learning and getting better prepared. Hey, this episode is going to deal with bug out bags, and I really like this article. It talks about mistakes to avoid. A lot of good information here, so I'm not going to just spend a lot of time talking about this here at the very forefront. I'm going to dive right into it. It's coming to us from modernsurvivalonline.com. Really great article, like I said. It's called 15 Bug-Out Bag Mistakes to Avoid Like the Plague. So let's go ahead and jump into this one. Virtually every prepper has a bug-out bag, a bob, that great big backpack or rucksack that holds all of the survival goodies you will need to weather the storm when a disaster sends you fleeing into the wild blue yonder. Now, if you don't have a bob, I hope you put yours together soon. And at any rate, I know you have at least heard the term repeated seemingly ad nauseum all over the internet, wherever survival and prepper-centric information is found. That's for a good reason, as a bug-out bag is one of the most vital pieces of survival kit any prepper can have and will broadly prepare you for a variety of survival situations so long as you can access it. If your house gets wrecked, grab your bob. If you have to take off into the wilderness, grab your bob. If you're throwing your family and your dog in the car to head off to your bug-out location and wait for this whole thing to blow over, grab your bob. It should be the very first thing you collect after you grab your family when things are turning for the worst. Now, because the bug-out bag is so important, you want to make sure you have it and yourself squared away when it comes time to carry it, pack it, and use it. Any survival writer could go on for days at a time about what you should do when it comes time to choose and pack your bag. I'm going to take a slightly different approach and tell you about all the things you should definitely avoid doing when getting your bob sorted out. Now, as I alluded to in the opening, you can ask 10 different people what the best way to pack a bob is, which pack is the best, which material makes the best bob, and so on and so forth, and you will likely get 10 different answers. If you ask knowledgeable people, you might get 10 different good answers. You probably heard the old saying a million times by now that there is more than one way to skin a cat. It is true, some ways are better than others, and some ways are just frustratingly terrible. One thing that can help you choose between a field of seemingly acceptable options or even good options to be the best, most efficient you can be at any given task is to stop and consider the principles of it. What is most essential, what is most truthful, and applicable to the situation or task at hand? What would be the principle of the idiom above, skinning the cat? No matter what approach you take to skinning a cat, the way to begin is always with a sharp knife. Starting to make more sense now? Now, I don't have kitties, and I don't think you do either, but we should apply that same insight to everything we do when it comes to choosing and packing our bug-out bags. So no matter what kind of backpack you prefer, no matter the type of suspension, no matter what kind of material it is made of, how much or how little you are hauling in it, there are some principles you don't want to vary on. They are universally applicable and helpful, except in very rare situations. Now, if you are one of those people living in or dealing with one of those rare situations, please don't make that point your particular hill to die on. I would expect you to always act using your own good sense after carefully assessing your needs. You should never listen to anyone on the internet blindly, including your dear old author here. So 15 Bob mistakes to avoid like the plague. Number one, it's too heavy. Weight is the eternal enemy of the bug out bag and the prepper who must carry it, potentially, on their backs across uneven and unforgiving terrain. When you consider how much gear, how many items, and how much provisioning you will have to stuff into your bug out bag, it is a small wonder that the weight skyrockets. Most preppers I know have bug out bags weighing well in excess of 25 pounds and a 50 pound. Bug out bag or even more is not out of the question. I will assume you are at least in average condition and able to handle that much weight. But even if you are very fit and able to carry it rapidly over long distances, there is no escaping the calculus of the event. More weight means greater fatigue, and the faster you fatigue, the more likely you are to become injured. All things being equal, you will never be able to move a heavy bob as far as fast as a lighter one or without spending drastically more energy to do so. If you've heard it once, you have heard it 100 times. Ounces make pounds and pounds make pain. You must justify every single gram of weight you pack into your bob against your plan, your anticipated survival situation, and potential threats. Number two, failing to test or practice with your pack. Now, I cannot tell you how many preppers I know that have a bug out bag that looks nearly as fresh as the day they bought it, packed near to bursting with all the goodies they think they will need, but they have never even gone for a pleasure hike with that particular pack, to say nothing of hiking with that particular pack loaded with their actual survival kit. Now, I know I would be asking them for the sun, the moon, and the stars if I were to ask them to use their actual bob with actual kit and actually hike the on-foot route that they plan to take when the SHTF. You seasoned preppers probably have your head in your hands right now, just thinking about that, while you greenhorns might not think it is any big deal. After all, when the sirens go off, it is just time to grab your bag and run, right? Yes, but it isn't that simple. You must be intimately familiar with the equipment you are going to depend on in a life or death situation, and that includes your bob. Failing to get acquainted with it under real-world conditions and significant physical stress could be disastrous. Without working out with the pack, you won't know if the stitching and the material can hold up while being jostled around under load. You won't know if you can hold up while you are carrying it, or the straps dig into your collarbone painfully, or the suspension and waist belt just plain suck. The result of all of this failure to verify is that you could end up in a lot of pain with suboptimal equipment. That is the last thing you want to be dealing with when the time comes to bug out. Number three on the list of things to avoid when you are considering your bug out bag is a poor fit. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but everyone has their own unique body proportions and shape. What fits and works with my body may not work with yours. You certainly wouldn't expect someone else's shoes or clothing to fit you. Why would you expect their pack to? While backpack manufacturers go out of their way to make their packs as adjustable as possible, and there is a pack for everyone, the fact remains you will encounter backpacks that are not suitable for bug out bag use for you because they fit poorly. This could be the result of bad luck, a design flaw, or just poor adjustment of straps, belt, pads, frame, and so forth. If your pack does not fit right, a few things are going to happen to you. First, no matter how well you pack the load on the inside, it is not going to ride as efficiently and as balanced as it could if the pack fits your body correctly. Second, poor fit is a fast track to getting chafing, hot spots, and blisters. It is vital that your pack fit as close to your body as possible while keeping the load centered and stopping it from pitching out away from your body in any direction. You can overcome some issues by packing the contents of your backpack a certain way to counteract those forces, but there's only so much you can do to overcome a bad fit. All right, number four, buying a poor quality pack. Now, buying a cheap, poor quality pack is the epitome of false economy. No matter how much you think you save over buying the genuine article that is made to a standard ensuring it will survive hard use, your bargain basement or knockoff pack will not even be able to do the thing you bought it to do. What is your return on investment in that situation? I'll save you having to fish out your calculator app. It ain't good. Cheaply made packs use inferior materials all the way around and usually have shoddy quality control processes to boot. You can expect the nylon or canvas to be weak and easily frayed, and stitching to be performed with inferior thread and not done to spec if you want strength you can depend on under a load. This will result in blowouts, spilling your goodies all over the trail or the pavement, broken straps, jammed or busted zippers, and countless other annoyances and failures great and small. And don't convince yourself you can get away with buying a crappy pack just because you are carrying a light load. The situation you will find yourself in will be hard on you and your equipment alike. All it will take is one good shock or jolt to stop popping stitches on your straps. Snagging the pack on a branch or sharp protrusion will either tear it open or pop off a strap or a pouch. Don't risk it. All right, number 5, a poorly chosen frame. Among the backpacks that are suitable for bob use, they can be had with all kinds of frame styles. You can have a hard fixed frame, an internal flexible frame, soft frames, or no frame. Each of these design choices has pros and cons, and each has its own adherents and detractors. Which one you should choose is a matter of knowing yourself, knowing your objective, and how much you have to carry. Generally, packs with rigid fixed frames are bulkier, but work a heck of a lot better if you are carrying a ton of weight. Soft, frameless packs of the type that we are familiar with as the common backpack or book bag are flexible, easier to load, and easier to manage all around, but they will seriously start to struggle when loaded heavily and will often let the load shift most more compared to a pack with a frame. Whichever one fits your needs best, the point is that you should avoid settling for the opposite number and only buy one after determining what your needs are and which system will fulfill them best. Don't get one or the other just because the sales guy said it's best or some survivalist that you admire uses one. If neither one of them has objectives that look anything like your own, you might be better off going with a different system. Do your homework and then choose a frame style for your bob. All right, number 6 on the list of mistakes to avoid when you're setting up your bob is inappropriate color selection. Now, this is another pet peeve of mine that will send me into a rant. You should pay attention to the color and style of your bob. Yes, you, no matter where you live or what you do. Just because the balloon has gone up and people are freaking out at the situation does not mean that you should skimp on the details, because those details might matter. What specifically am I referring to when I mention style and color? I want you to choose a pack or outfit one in such a way that it belongs in the environment you are in or will be moving through. If you live in the city, a big bulky military style rucksack that is camouflaged will stick out like a sore thumb and attract attention you don't need. A colorful pedestrian looking civilian hiking pack, on the other hand, not so much. Essentially, if you need to blend into a suburban or urban area, a colorful pack is your best bet since it will draw the least attention from nosy or unduly interested people. If you're in a wilderness area and do not want to be seen, camouflage would be a smart choice. Obviously, there are exceptions to both of these. You might want to keep a very low profile in urban areas, in which case a drab color will help you avoid detection. Similarly, if rescue is on your mind, in a nature setting, a day glow bright orange or green color will help you be spotted from afar. Number 7, exterior attachment of gear. I'm not entirely sure why people commit this next mistake, but it seems to be fairly prevalent. I'm referring to the external attachment of gear to the outside of your backpack. Excusing the very lightest items that will not rattle or otherwise unbalance you, external gear attachments suck. It is not an efficient way to carry a load, and it does not protect your gear from the elements. The people that do this seem to fall further and further under the sway of this sickness as time goes on, adding more and more hangers, clips, cords, and other attachment systems until they have the outside of their pack festooned with gear like Samwise Gamgee in The Lord of the Rings, all cookware and bedrolls and whatnot. You can make the case for adding a couple of small pouches to the outside for lightweight gear that is easily secured and that you need to access without opening up the main pack. This is, of course, assuming your pack lacks an admin pouch for that specific purpose. Letting most gear dangle off the outside of your pack attached in a haphazard way is almost always a bad strategy. Don't do it. Number 8, haphazard packing and balancing. Now, you should practice packing your bob. I don't mean you should practice packing it so you can get ready to leave in a hurry, because your bob should be packed and waiting on you in case of an emergency. I mean to say you should practice packing it so you can ensure it remains balanced. The load inside the pack will not shift, and the items are generally protected while inside the bob. This is a skill, and it takes practice to master. And master it you should, because the alternative is to pack in a splash dash, an efficient and inefficient manner that will do nothing except to waste space and make it harder for you to access the gear you need in a logical and consistent manner when the time comes to open up the bob. If your packing system is so screwed up that you own a 3,500 cubic inch capacity pack, but you have 500 or even more wasted cubic inches of space because of sloppy gear configuration, you are being inefficient. Everything in your bob should have a place and should go in that place every time you pack it. Just because it fits all nice and tidy and looks good does not mean it is just good to go. You have to don the pack, wear it, and then wear it under movement to ensure the load does not shift and remains balanced. It is foolish to put so much time and effort into assembling the right loadout, choosing the right backpack, and end up dumping everything into it so it looks like one of your wife's old Tupperware containers full of knickknacks. Number 9, careless stowage of sharp edges or corners and liquids. This is yet another pet peeve mistake that really grinds my gears. Quite a few preppers, including your intrepid author here at one point in the past, place a little bit too much confidence in cheap water bottles and shoddy knife sheaths alike. Placing either of the two inside your bob should not be done lightly, and only with the confidence and the know-how that items in question will not inadvertently damage your bob or other components. It is imperative that you know how to pack them to ensure that does not happen. The troublemaker item in question might be a camp axe, a hatchet, or just your trusty bush knife, but anything that goes inside your bob that has either a sharp corner or a cutting edge must be absolutely secured by its sheath or cover. I've seen it happen time and time again. The load gets jostled around or something acts upon the sheath, securing the blade, which then comes free or exposes part of the blade to start sawing and cutting through the material of the pack itself. This is a malfunction you can ill afford when lives are on the line during an SHTF event. Also, anything that is liquid that is going inside your pack, be it water, bottles, canteens, electrolyte replacement drink containers, fuel bottles, or anything else, must be in an extremely durable container in and of itself, or it must be placed inside something that will not allow it to be crushed under any conditions. For any reusable container, you must also ensure that the cap for closure cannot be inadvertently backed off of its threads or popped open. Neglect to do this at your own risk. Ask me how I know. Number 10, not modular for easy access. A modular bob is one where the contents are compartmented in smaller bags or pouches inside the main pack that are detachable. For instance, you can have a medical module in the form of a first aid kit pouch, a food module with all your calorie options stored inside, and a navigation module that holds your maps, compass, GPS, etc. Aside from helping you keep everything accounted for while packing, unpacking, and repacking, and let you grab everything you need with much less movement. Rummaging through your bob, trying to track down a couple of things you need is not ideal, even when you're not in a rush. The more you rummage, the more you disrupt, and the mixture inside your bob gets worse and worse. Furthermore, compartmenting your gear by using the modular approach makes it much easier to keep everything locked down inside the bob. While you will lose a few cubic inches of space, accounted for by your subload containers, the benefit makes it well worth considering. Additionally, if you need to hand off specific gear to a member of your group or a family member, this facilitates that and gives them a container they can put everything back in before returning it to you. Without it, they'll have to stuff it in their pockets or in their pack. You don't have to go all in on the modular concept or get the benefits of it. Some items just belong together and should stay together, and you can take a sort of half-on, half-off approach with modularity to good success. Number 11 is this. This is really a cardinal sin of having a Bob. It's not packed at all. Now, I don't know what kind of disaster a person thinks they will be facing where they can hear about it, have 12 hours a day, a week, or a couple of weeks to plan, get everything together at a leisurely rate, and then set off to the mountains with their walking stick like they are off on a pleasure hike or something. If you are lucky, you will have an hour, tops, when the balloon goes up before you need to get out the door to safety. Having a Bob and keeping it empty with the intention that you will fill it once you have made the decision to hit the road is foolhardy. It is like having a fire extinguisher you have to charge before you can then pull the pin and use it. Speed counts in these situations. Time is life is a saying you will hear over and over again from people who have been there and done that. You can never have enough, and for that reason, you don't want to squander it packing your Bob. Your Bob should be treated like a parachute. When you need it ready to go as soon as you pull the cord. The more fiddling, fussing, and searching you have to do before packing it is only going to waste time and stress you out in a situation when you can afford neither. Get a Bob, get the things you want to carry in it, then pack it and repack it and test it until you are sure it is correct. Keep it packed and keep it in a place where you can access it at a moment's notice. Number 12. Your Bob is noisy. Yet another symptom of poor loading or load planning and packing, or the complete absence thereof. This is also the hallmark characteristic of the person we talked about above who likes to attach gear to the outside of their pack like a bunch of barnacles. You do not want a noisy Bob, and you should take whatever pains and however much time is necessary to silence it, or at least in nearly so, preventing rattles, squeaks, clangs, and bangs. Why? What's the point? That much is simple. If you can hear all of that racket, other people can too. Specifically people that you do not want to find you or who you do not want to find you while you're in the middle of a survival situation. You will definitely be able to count on the worst elements of humanity doing what they do best during any major crisis. Anytime law enforcement and first responders are busy with other problems, the roaches come out. Furthermore, all the ruckus emanating from your pack right behind you, riding on your back, serves as a sort of auditory white noise that can prevent you from hearing vital sound cues, the engines in the distance, a scream, or a gun being readied in the bushes. You want every advantage that your senses can provide for you at all times. Failing to quiet your Bob down simply because you don't think it is that important is stupid. Take the time to go through it and use whatever padding and securing methods you must to kill the noise. Otherwise, that noise might get you killed. All right, number 13 on the list of 15 mistakes to avoid when you're packing your Bob is no waterproofing. So water resistant does not mean waterproof, not even close. Most nylon and canvas materials that are commonly used to make packs will be marketed as water resistant. You need something that is waterproof to protect your pack and, more importantly, what it carries. We can assume you'll be carrying things like electronics, food, clothes, and other things that don't need to get wet, or else they will start to degrade or even be destroyed. Not for nothing, a wet pack holding wet contents gets a whole lot heavier in no time at all. You can prevent this unhappy three-way pileup of misery by ensuring that your pack is waterproof. There are a couple of ways to go about this. The first way, and oftentimes the most expensive, is the purchase of a pack that is inherently waterproof. The second way is to make use of dry bags or dry sacks to compartment your items inside your pack and keep them safe while your pack inside hopefully sheds the water. The next way is to make use of a rain fly, a cover that is completely waterproof and often reversible with a brightly colored signaling side and a camouflage side for concealment that has an elastic band allowing you to cinch it over the pack. Lastly, you can treat your pack with any variety of over-the-counter or DIY waterproofing solutions. Beeswax is probably what your grandfather used, but this stuff degrades quickly and requires regular reapplication. There are all kinds of solutions out there for this problem, but you'll need to do a little bit of research and see which one works for you. All that matters in the end is that you keep the water out of your pack and off of the items within. Number 14, tough to don and doff. Your bob should not be terribly difficult to put on and get situated or to unlimber and take off. This is typically a failure to set up the straps, suspension, and waist belt correctly, and is also sometimes a symptom that the pack is just way too heavy. No matter why you are struggling to get your bob on or take it off, you needs to be sorted out. It and not just for reasons of comfort either. There are a few entirely practical reasons why you might need to ditch it or don it in a hurry. One is that you fall into a river, lake, or other body of water and need to bail out of the pack with a quickness so you do not drown. Ultimately, you might become entangled by some obstacle and need to shuck out of the pack to free yourself. Conversely, if your pack is too difficult to put on, you will struggle to do it when seconds count. If you need to break camp and leave immediately, wasting 30 or 60 seconds shucking and jiving to get your pack just so on your shoulders, the sternum strap fastened, and the waist belt buckled is time you should have better spent on making tracks. Your pack does not have to be light as a feather, and indeed probably will not be, but it should not be a bear to get out of or as difficult to put on as a diving suit on a rattlesnake. And number 15 on the bob mistakes to avoid is carrying too much water. What? How can you say that, Tim? Don't you know how important water is in a survival situation? Oh boy, there was definitely a reason why I saved this one for last, and it is for that reaction I just described above. When you tell a prepper that they are carrying too much water, they will often look at you like you have a horn growing out of the middle of your forehead. Literally, like you just stepped out of some alternate dimension. Water is so precious, so vital to a survival situation, that it seems incomprehensible to anyone to tell you that you are carrying too much. But nonetheless, it is absolutely true. This is almost always indicative of a lack of confidence, a lack of skill, or a lack of necessary equipment for procuring water from found sources while you are in the field bugging out. That is the issue. The symptom of that issue is that people carry way too much water, which is a problem because water is so doggone heavy. Water typically weighs about 8.5 pounds per gallon, dependent upon temperature, of course, not including its container. If you carry a 3-day supply of water for a single adult that will be exerting themselves, you are talking about 25 pounds of water at the least. That is an insane amount of weight for a single resource, no matter how important it is. For this reason, it is essential that you educate and equip yourself for both finding and safely processing found water supplies in order to refill your containers while in the field and move on. If you don't know which natural water sources are the best potential sources of safe water, and if you don't know how to use a water filter, boiling, distillation, and other purification methods to render it safe, you need to hit the books and learn how so you can drop some of that H2O weight. All right, so let's go ahead and conclude this article. The bug out bag is a survival mainstay and should be a central part of your survival equipment plan. While the benefits of the magnificent bob are many, you can set yourself up for failure and disaster if you don't avoid some common pitfalls that are easy to mistake. No matter what kind of bob you have and no matter what kind of load you are hauling, you can improve your efficiency by taking care of the issues above. I think this is an excellent article and a lot of things to consider here, a lot of things to go through when you are thinking about your bug out bag. And I really like this here because this article is giving you things to think about and things to put in place. It's not giving you what to put inside your bug out bag. Now, there are a lot of articles out there. There's plenty of them. I know that I have linked to many of those on Prepper website throughout the years, and they are popular. And you get on social media, you get on a forum, people are going to tell you all the things that you need to have in your bug out bag. Here's the thing, and this article alluded to it, is that your bob needs to be for you. You know what you need. You know what situation you're going to be in. And so you need to make sure that your bug out bag meets your needs, not the needs of somebody who lives in another part of the country or somebody who lives in another part of the world. someone who is going to, you know, planning on going out into the woods, if you're not ever planning on going out into the woods, you know, all those things, you really need to consider that. And so really your bug out bag is not something that is just something you create and it's this single item. It's something that is part of your overall plan. And so I really like that he talked about that. It's your bug out equipment, part of your equipment plan. And so it's more than just your equipment plan. It's bigger. It's part of your overall plan, your overall survival plan. And you need to make it your own. You know, one of the things that I always hear, and there's kind of, he kind of mentioned it here in this article here, is this romanticized idea that you're bugging out to the woods. And I don't know where that comes from. I guess maybe that's maybe some military guys that was when they bugged out from camp or whatever they were doing. That was the idea there. But let me say this. Most people cannot bug out to the woods. You're not going to do that. You're going to die. You can't carry enough food. You can't carry enough gear. You're going to wind up suffering if you think that when it's time to bug out, you're bugging out into the woods and you're all of a sudden going to become Mr. Bushcrafter, Mr. Survival Expert. There's a lot of people that you read about you can listen to their videos and they are survival experts, and that's not advice that they give. So there's a lot of things to consider. I mean, what if you had to bug out in the middle of winter and there's nothing? You could be the best forager out there, right? And I can tell you there's a lot of people out there that don't know enough about foraging, but you can bug out in the middle of winter. Maybe you could find some stuff if you really know what you're looking for. But if you run out of food, what are you going to do? So really your bob, and this is all I'm going to say about this, is when you are making your bob, the idea, and this is why I'm saying it's your overall survival plan as part of that, you have a plan. You know where you're going. You need to have a plan of where you're going. You need to have plan A, plan B, plan C. Maybe it is you have a bug out location that's already outfitted with, you know, all your food and all that good stuff. Maybe you have family members out in the country. Maybe you have friends in another part of the state. Maybe whatever it might be, you already know your plan. And so you have plan A, B, C, or D. And for the most part, unless things are really, really bad, your plan is going to include your vehicle. Your plan is going to include getting in your vehicle and driving. And so when you think about putting on your bug out bag and, you know, walking the woods, getting to your bug out location, that I'm not saying that is never a possibility, that's probable, but that's probably not going to be the thing that you're going to wind up doing. You're going to get in your vehicle, you're going to put your bug out bag in the trunk or in the back, and you're going to drive to wherever you need to go. So think about that as well. Have that in the back of your mind. But you also need to be able to, like he said here in this article, put it on, put it off. If you do have to carry it, if you do have to go from one place to the other, you need to be able to carry it with you or carry it on your back, and it needs to be comfortable, and you need to be able to go long distances, and it needs to do all the other things here that this bug out bag article talked about. And so I think this is a great, great article on some of the things that you need to really think about. And I love the fact that he's just not telling you, you know, get this gear, get that, get this knife, get this container, do that. He's telling you, hey, you get the stuff that works best for you, but make sure that you avoid these mistakes. So a really great article. I wanted to just comment on one last thing. When he talked about buying quality gear, I completely, completely agree with him. Now, a couple of years ago, I purchased off of a website called Woot a briefcase for my laptop. And so I was looking for something that I could, you know, I don't like to carry a lot of things in my pocket. So I was looking for something where I can keep some of my EDC stuff in. And I always have my laptop with me going to work and all that kind of stuff. So I was looking for a briefcase, and I saw on Woot, there is a brand called Yukon Outfitters, I believe. and I saw a tactical, quote unquote, tactical briefcase. Now, this was really early on, but I thought, I was like, man, this has a lot of places, you know, a lot of pouches, a lot of bag space, a lot of little places where I can put stuff. And so I really liked it and I went ahead and bought it. It wasn't very expensive. I think it was maybe like $25, $29 around there. And Woot is a website, and I've purchased many things off of Woot before, but whatever they ship to you, it only costs $5. So if you buy a t-shirt, it's going to cost you $5 to ship. If you buy a big old washing machine, it's going to cost you $5 to ship. So, you know, so that's, you know, that's kind of cool about that website. That's one of the things that they have there. So I purchased this thing and it did not last very long at all. It started unraveling. It started, you know, getting holes in it. And I mean, I wasn't putting it through a lot of heavy use. I was, you know, going to the office, throwing my stuff in there, you know, coming back home and doing it over and over again. And I just wasn't putting a lot of junk. It wasn't a lot of heavy use in it. And I was very disappointed. I emailed the company, and because I didn't go through their website, because I went through Woot, they didn't honor any, they didn't honor the purchase. They didn't honor what I had purchased. And so I was really disappointed in that. So you need to really pay attention to the gear that you're buying. Look at reviews, really look at it really well. You know, the thing is that when you buy a quality piece of gear, you're gonna pay for it. I mean, that's just part of it, but you know that it's going to last. The other side of that is, I'm gonna say, look for deals. You know, we have members on our Facebook group that go to resale shops, and Brian comes out with stuff all the time that's just like, man, how'd you find that really great gear and for really cheap? And so I know that he's bought a couple of packs there, and he's bought some lanterns and some other just cool stuff, because he hits the resale shop at the right time. And so, you know, you might want to do that as well. You know, I think I saw a funny, maybe it was a graphic or something that I saw online, you know, that someone said, you know, after this coronavirus, all of you people are going to go out to eat and go eat Mexican chips and salsa and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to hit the resale shops because all these people have been purging and cleaning their homes. And I thought that was kind of funny. But on the other side of that, it's kind of true as well, because I know a lot of people that have been cleaning their homes, maybe cleaning closets, cleaning out garages, and they've been taking stuff to places where you can just go drop off. And who knows what kind of you know, survival gear or things that can be used in survival will be found there. So, you know, consider that one there when things settle down for you, and stop being so crazy. So guys, that's it for this article here. Again, over at modernsurvivalonline.com. Go check it out. They always have great articles over there. And like I said, this one right here is a really great one when it comes to your bug out bag. If you don't have one, you know, definitely you need to start considering getting that together. And you can always go to Prepper website and search for bug out bags and Bob to get a lot more articles on there. Again, be careful with the articles that tell you get this gear, get this gear. Take the information and make it your own. Well, everyone, that is it for episode 645. Hey, to subscribe to the show, make sure you click the subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. That way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. And don't forget, if you're looking for more preparedness and self-reliant information, head on over to prepperwebsite.com, where we link to 8 to 12 articles every day of the very best self-reliant articles out there. We also have pages dedicated to alternative news, firearms, DIY, Bible prophecy, frugal living, and homesteading. And lastly, don't forget to join the email list if you haven't. When you do, I'm going to send you a free PDF on 25 handpicked preparedness articles that you should read. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until next week, stay prepped and aware. Peace.